What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Monday, October 7th, 2024. If you're a Miami Dolphins fan, and I'm assuming a lot of you are, does it feel to you like a
victory
Monday? I was at the Hard Rock yesterday watching the game. Even after the Dolphins won, the fans that were there, they didn't jump up and down. They didn't get all excited. If you were watching it at your house, were you all excited? Normally, the Dolphins win, you're thrilled. That game was probably one of the most boring Dolphins victories you'll ever see. Not one of the most boring games, but one of the most boring Dolphins W's, where they win the football game, but you're not thrilled or excited or going nuts or so happy. No. But you know what? It counts as a win. And they desperately needed it in the standings. Maybe taking the vibe and atmosphere from the sports bar at the Hard Rock, which is what I'm doing, maybe that's not the best vibe to really take and get a full gauge on everything, because people there are wagering. If you wagered on the Dolphins, you won, but maybe you wagered on something else, and if you lost, you're not going to feel as good. But the Miami Dolphins got a W. It's their second victory of the season, and my gosh, was that really needed. Now, as a Dolphins fan, you get to chill out. I know we got more serious things going on out there. Not so much here in South Florida as to our neighbors to the north and to the west. That would be the west coast of Florida. Everybody, and if you don't know this, I mean, I don't know where you have been, but everybody has heard about Hurricane Milton. Yesterday it was a tropical storm. Now it's a hurricane. And it's a Category 5 hurricane. I'm always into tracking weather. I'm always into staying updated with everything going on. And that's why I'm here, not only to update you guys with football action and baseball action and hockey action, which it looks like we're going to have, but anything going on that needs to be discussed. And from what I see, and you should always listen to local officials, you hear that all of the time. Don't just pay attention to what you're hearing somebody say on the radio or television or on the internet. Make sure you're also getting it from an official. They don't have to call you or text you, but while you're watching TV, listen to what the official says, not just the news anchor. Everything that is out there right now is that, hey, South Florida, we're going to get bad weather. We're going to get rain. We're going to get wind. Does it look like we in Miami-Dade, Broward, or Palm Beach County will get the brunt of Milton? No. But always pay attention to what the National Hurricane Center is saying. If you have been here for weeks, every single day, you may have heard me say about 10 days ago, because I pay attention to all this stuff. I don't just throw things out there that are like whatever. 10 days ago, I said, look, Florida, South Florida, we need to pay attention. Not like have everything focused on this, but pay attention to what may be happening in a week from now. You had Helene, which was on the West Coast, the Big Bend, really, that area. And that was terrible. Then went through Georgia and the Carolinas, really bad. People are still suffering from that. And I'm not trying to get serious here on the show. I'm just trying to keep you informed. This is the big story. Then I was looking at the weather models. I got to be very clear here when I say models. The weather models. And I saw something brewing. And now look at what we've got in the Gulf, and it's headed towards Florida. So pay attention to what's being said. We should be okay here in South Florida. I'm thinking, yeah, there will be some flooding, if there isn't already in some areas. But rain, wind, it'll kind of feel just like one of those bad storms that we get. Maybe a little bit worse. The only good news about Milton is now, being that it's a Category 5 so soon, and the way the weather setup is, over the next couple of days before it hits Florida, it should go down in strength. So right now it's a Cat 5, but it should go down to maybe even a Category 2 possibly, but probably still a Category 3 before it slams into the state. That's the only good news, because it is coming to Florida regardless. It's not going to avoid Florida. And unfortunately, I was looking at these models. I don't just project football games. I also project weather as well. I'm into really everything. I was looking at some of these, and in about a week from now, there might be something else that is out there. Hey, we're in the middle of October, early October. This goes all the way in through the end of November, and we've been very lucky in South Florida, and we continue to be lucky, but unfortunately, the west coast of our state has not been so lucky. I know you probably tuned in to hear about hurricanes, but not the hurricanes in the Gulf or the Atlantic. More like the Miami Hurricanes. And if you were able to stay up for that game Saturday night into Sunday morning, my gosh, you saw one of the most thrilling comebacks you will ever see. Now, you didn't see it if you were asleep. You only saw the highlights. But down 25 points in the third quarter, the Canes come back. They beat Cal. It was like 2:30 in the morning, or just before 2:30, right around 2. One of those late West Coast games that we're totally not used to when it comes to football of any kind for one of our teams. The Dolphins, the Canes, FAU, any one of our teams, they're never playing late on the West Coast. But of course, Cal is in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Yeah, the Atlantic Coast Conference. Again, makes zero sense, but at least the Canes went out there. They had that long flight, about 5 hours and 20 minutes or so, 5.5 hours on the way there, shorter on the way back because the jet stream, the winds, it's always a quicker flight back California to Miami than it is Miami to California. I hate that flight. Unless I'm on a huge plane like the Canes were, they took a 777 from American Airlines from Miami to Oakland. Special flight, of course. Unless I'm on one of those, forget about it. I can't take a regular plane 5.5 hours. I'd rather make a stop in Dallas, break it up a little bit. But the Canes, they were comfortable, and they were definitely a whole lot more comfortable on the way back. So the Dolphins win yesterday. The Canes, they won Saturday night in California. That means we got two wins. Miami got two victories over the weekend. It's a double
victory
Monday. We haven't had a whole lot of those around here. And both of them also have a bye week. So both the Canes and the Dolphins get a moment to catch their breath. And I think both of them need to do that. The Canes haven't lost a game, but you saw their last two, the Virginia Tech game and then Cal. They were down, and they were in big trouble in both of them. But they won them. The Dolphins finally pick up their second win. They need to catch their breath. Take a nice week timeout and come back. And then take care of business, hopefully, against Indianapolis. So we got football to talk about. We got the hockey season beginning. I know there were two games already. Not Panthers related, though. It does seem that the Panthers will play tomorrow night against the Boston Bruins in Sunrise. We continue to watch Hurricane Milton. We know there's going to be plenty of rain coming here, and it's already been here in South Florida. How big of an impact will the storm have on us? Again, continue to pay attention to what the officials are saying or go to the National Hurricane Center's website yourself. It's a big story to watch, but it does seem like the Florida Panthers will be playing tomorrow night at home against the Boston Bruins. This morning, when I was having my coffee, I was thinking about where do I start the hour? There's a couple of stories out there, not hurricane related, not like storm related, but you've got the Miami Hurricanes undefeated. You got the Miami Dolphins getting a victory yesterday. You got the Florida Panthers starting their season tomorrow, even though they canceled the ring ceremony for tonight. And I'll get more into that a little bit later on. So I'm not starting with them, but I got to start somewhere. However, I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
I really, really, really wanted to start with the University of Miami game. And the reason for that is because it was so much more exciting. Even though some of you were sleeping, you saw the highlights, it was very exciting. However, I know the NFL is king. And it's almost mandatory that I start with the Miami Dolphins. If I started with anything else but the Dolphins the day after a Dolphins game, please, I would ask you to call or write to the station and say, is Andy Slater okay? Because I think you need to check on him. And I don't want that to happen, so I'm starting with the Miami Dolphins. They desperately needed a victory yesterday. Having lost three games in a row, it was brutal. To make it four, and then you're still missing Tua for another game after yesterday's, forget about it. The Dolphins won, though. And here's how a Dolphins fan needs to look at what's going on right now. As bad as this season has been, you see I'm going to go positive here. As bad as this season has been, and so far it's been a horror show. I always say, when you say the word horror, you have to make sure you enunciate it correctly and clearly. Otherwise, it could sound like something different. So far, this season has been a horror show for this football team. But it could still be salvaged. If they lost yesterday and kept on spiraling, it probably would have been too late to salvage the season. But as ugly as yesterday's game was, it was a win, and it was a divisional win. It was a road win. And this was at a time where the Miami Dolphins had lost three in a row. It came at a time where the quarterback situation is in major doubt. It came on a short week, and they wound up getting a W. And for that, as they hit the bye, the Miami Dolphins should be very thankful. And Dolphins fans should be thankful because the season could have been done and over with, essentially. But right now, they're 2-3. 2-3 isn't good, but it's not the end of the world. The Bills, they lost yesterday, again. The Patriots, they lost to the Dolphins. And the Jets, they lost yesterday. So even though that game was hard to watch as a Dolphins fan, it was sloppy. It was boring. In the end, it was a successful Sunday for this organization. What the Dolphins found yesterday, which they could build on, it's the running game. I know it's not good that Devon Achane went out with a concussion, but they got a bye week now, and they got Raheem Mostert back. And having Raheem Mostert on that field made a huge difference. We forget because he's been out and Devon Achane, not so much this season, but last season had been so good. We tend to forget that Raheem Mostert's RB1. And if the Miami Dolphins are going to give the majority of the carries to one dude, that dude needs to be Raheem Mostert. Plus, Jalen Wright didn't look all that bad. Mostert, though, he changes the Dolphins' entire offense. Plus, he's physically built to take carry after carry. And to the Dolphins' credit, when they had to have this, when they needed to win the game, they got a drive with 17 plays. They pounded it, went down the field, and they wound up punching it in with Alec Ingold. That was a man-sized drive, and it happened at a time they needed it the most. This isn't some big win, but it's a well-needed win. It's not like they went into a stadium on the road and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe the Dolphins beat this team. No, it was the New England Patriots. And the Patriots are not good at all. They're bad. I don't even know how the Patriots defend putting Jacoby Brissett out there. He's limited in what he can do. They drafted Drake May. I know their O-line stinks, but that team can't be competitive with Jacoby Brissett. Are they trying to tank? They already drafted their quarterback, so I don't know about that. It's just such a weak offense. But at the same time, give the Miami Dolphins defense some credit. They basically had one bad play, the 33-yard touchdown run they gave up. But the rest, they were pretty solid. I don't want to just say it was all bad New England offense. The defense, they were pretty good. Sure, they were facing Jacoby Brissett, and the Patriots were facing Snoop Huntley. You talk about a bad quarterback matchup. Brissett versus Huntley, that's probably as bad as you can get in an NFL game, especially so early in the season. But that's where we are. The Dolphins defense, though, they do deserve some credit. I'd much rather them have players who I saw making big plays yesterday in games, like Roberts in the Pittsburgh game at night, like Andrew Van Ginkle making a huge play in the very early morning game for us. Well, not very early, 9:30 a.m., but the pick six by AVG, who the Dolphins should have never let go of. Christian Wilkins, no longer here, and now the Dolphins are beat up, as we know, with Jalen Phillips out for the season. Javon Holland, he's going to miss some time. The Dolphins' defense is far from perfect, and they're far from good, but they played well enough against the Patriots to at least get the job done. They did what they had to do. The most important thing yesterday was leaving that building with a win, and that's what the Dolphins did. Because if they would have hit their bye week at 1-4, forget about it. If they would have lost and Buffalo won, what a huge mountain that would have been to climb. But Buffalo lost and the Dolphins won. Don't give up just yet. That's all I'm saying. Dolphins fans, I don't think they should give up either, at least in my personal opinion, and that's what I'm here to give you, my opinion, not somebody else's. I'm not quite sure. I wouldn't say mail it in right now, but I'm not 100% sure if this whole wide receiver idea that the Miami Dolphins had going into the season is going to pan out. And I want to get into that discussion in just a moment. What you should get into is my poker tournament next Tuesday night. It's 8 days away, Tuesday night, October 15th. At Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament with a minimum of $20,000 in the prize pool. It's only $250 to buy in. Cards will be in the air at 6 p.m. next Tuesday night, October 15th. That's when the tournament starts, and you've got until 9:30 p.m. to register. If you knock me out of my own tournament, which happens from time to time, not only will you get all of my chips, but you are going to get two seats on the glass to go see the Florida Panthers in action. And those seats include the Emerant Vault access for food and drinks. That is all courtesy of the Workers' Comp Legal Center. You do not want to miss it. There's normally way more than $20,000 up for grabs, but that is the minimum. Be there next Tuesday night, October 15th, the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament. The tournament begins at 6. You've got until 9:30 p.m. to register, and it all happens next Tuesday night, October 15th, at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Did you guys notice who was out there for the Miami Dolphins yesterday? Odell Beckham Jr. He exists. He played. The fact that he played, I guess, is positive. He got on the field. He did not have a catch, so that means he had 0 yards. What I really wonder, though, about the Miami Dolphins wide receiver situation is this. They got Tyreek Hill. They got Jalen Waddle. We know those two are stars. You can look around the league. They're probably the best 1-2 combination that you can have. Some can argue that. Okay, no problem. You can definitely argue that if you just look at this season's numbers. Yes, the Miami Dolphins do not have Tua at quarterback. And for a Dolphins fan's sake, you hope you have him very soon. He cannot come back until the Arizona game. So you got the bye week, then you got the Colts, and then you've got the Arizona Cardinals. But can this wide receiving core, can they survive one more game? We didn't see much from Tyreek yesterday. We barely saw anything from Jalen Waddle. Maybe you were watching that game. The best receiver looked like Jonnu Smith. It's just so odd that the Miami Dolphins have not had any explosive plays. And you could tell me, well, come on, Slater, they don't have Tua. Even when they had Tua, I didn't see explosive plays. And how good of a quarterback do you need to be able to get the ball to Waddle or Tyreek Hill just quickly and let them do the work? That's not to say that the Dolphins could have any quarterback and the wide receiving core is going to be fine. But from time to time, a couple plays a game, that can't happen. I haven't seen it. They have two players who are so explosive, yet we're not getting any explosive plays whatsoever. You can blame, okay, Tua's not out there. You can say that's the reason. But again, I'm going to come back to you and say, well, wait a minute. How difficult could it be, even if it's a second or third string quarterback, to get the ball into the hands of Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle? Even if they're 5 yards away, let them do the work. You could give Tyler Huntley credit for something, though, because yesterday everything operational looked a whole lot better than Monday night. We still had holds. We still had guys not lined up properly. But it was better because Monday night was a complete disaster. Tyler Huntley, I'm sure, was more comfortable in the offense, at least a little bit. Just good enough. They had the ground attack. That was working. Raheem Mostert touching the ball a lot. Most of that probably had to do with Devon Achane being out. But again, Raheem Mostert is RB1. I think it's fair to say, and we all know, the Miami Dolphins, they will not be doing anything this season unless Tua does come back. And we've heard a lot of speculation. Tua might be thinking this or that. Maybe he's going to see another neurologist. But we're getting to the point where I think it would be nice to hear Tua is coming back. And he's fine. He's been cleared. He's going to be back for the Arizona game. I know they don't have to say it yet. He's on the IR. He's not talking. Mike McDaniel doesn't have to talk about it. They got a bye week. Then they have another game. And then Tua would be eligible to come back. That would be against Arizona. It would be nice to hear that, though, because if indeed he has been cleared and he's going to be okay to go back on the field, according to his doctors and team doctors, and he decides, okay, I am going to continue to play, it'd be nice to hear that. Something concrete. The win yesterday, that's a boost for the team. But getting news that QB1 is coming back, like official news, everybody hears it, that would be another level. Because then they would be allowed to talk about it. Privately, they may know. But being allowed to air it out, let it out. We got just one more game. We got the bye week. We got one more game, and then we know Tua is coming back. We can get this thing turned around. Tyler Huntley, he's been doing a great job filling in, even though it hasn't been a great job. They would say that. That would just be a big boost. This team can get their stuff together, and there is some optimism when you do, if you do get Tua back, that you could actually save your season and do something with it. I know yesterday it was a win. It didn't feel exciting. It didn't feel like an NFL game. It kind of feels like the Dolphins won a preseason game, at least from the quality of what we saw. But if Tua does come back in the Arizona game, if they somehow find their offense again, if, and I know I'm saying the word if a lot, but if the NFL cannot figure out the Miami Dolphins the rest of the season with whatever Mike McDaniel will have planned, and they could be a high-powered Dolphins offensive team again, well, then there's trouble ahead for their opponents. Again, there's a lot of ifs. This team, they were down. They were 1-3. That was a very important victory against a team that is not that good. You could be a worse team by going into an opponent's stadium and losing to a team that is not that good. But if in the end Tua does come back and this team can win somehow 10 football games, and look, they wouldn't win 10 football games if they continue to play the way they have been. They're going to have to get a whole lot better, and they could. The only way, though, it would happen is if Tua does come back and Mike McDaniel figures things out. I don't want people to think that I believe when Tua was in there, the Dolphins looked like some great offense, and then all of a sudden it went away. Because, no, week one they didn't look good, and then week two when he wound up getting hurt, before he got hurt, they were down, I think it was 21-3. They looked terrible, and Mike McDaniel's play calling was horrendous. Just like the end of that game yesterday with what Jacoby Brissett was thinking. That was horrendous. Dropping back with time expiring, no timeouts, throw to a tight end at the 10. And then the tight end goes down. I mean, that was like top five horrible ways to try to win a football game. I don't know what he expected Henry to do with the ball. But hey, it got the job done for the Miami Dolphins. And for all of you Dolphins fans, that's the only thing that matters. We know the weather outside is brutal right now, and it will be brutal for the next few days, but it should clear up by the weekend, just in time during this bye week, for you to head on out to Gulfstream Park. Live racing action at Gulfstream Park every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It is the Sunshine Meet. That's what's happening at Gulfstream Park right now. And when you go out there for the live races on Saturday and Sunday, you can go to their trackside restaurant, Ten Palms, and get the awesome buffet that they serve up. You could order off of the menu anytime you want. I always hang out at Ten Palms, the trackside restaurant at Gulfstream Park. The AC is kicking. You could be outdoors. You could be indoors. You got all of the races live right in front of you. They've also got the Carousel Club at Gulfstream Park, another cool place to hang out and get in on all the action. The Pick 4 pool, the Pick 5 pool, the Rainbow 6, 10 or 20 cents. Those could be your wagers, and you could possibly make thousands of dollars. I see it happen all of the time. Live racing happening right now every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's the Sunshine Meet in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. Now I get to talk about another South Florida victory, another Miami victory. This one, though, a bit more exciting. And it looks like with the Miami Hurricanes football team, special, special things could be on the horizon. You see how everything changes, voice-wise, personality-wise. I'm still talking about a win. I was talking about a win the past two segments. But that one just felt like, okay, yeah, they won, whatever. This one, it feels a whole lot different. And that's because Cam Ward is the University of Miami's quarterback. And that dude, he is special. I don't know how many times I got to say it, but But I keep getting email after email from the University of Miami's Public Relations Department saying what award and what weekly honor Cam Ward has won. The Canes are 6-0. They're ranked 6th in the country. They also have a bye week, and they hit it feeling great. 2 straight weeks, the University of Miami snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. You may have been sleeping, but you know the story by now. They were down 35-10 in the third quarter on the road, and they won. That's nuts. As much as I want to say Cam Ward is just different, the 35-10 deficit that they faced and coming back to win that game, it doesn't happen just because of one guy. They did it exactly how you would stage a big comeback. You got to do it piece by piece. You get a touchdown, then you get a stop. Complimentary football. You get another touchdown, and then you get a stop. It's step by step, the University of Miami, they kept on climbing, and now they've climbed to 6-0. They're unbeaten, number 6 in the country, and you take a look at their schedule. We've talked about it before, and I'm sure we'll talk about it again. I know the last two games have not been easy, but they got W's. This team could really be heading into a place that we have not seen in South Florida in decades. They were down 6 in that game Saturday night into Sunday morning. There was less than 2 minutes to go. They were backed up inside their own 10. But Cam Ward's the quarterback. And Cam Ward hit X for a 70-yard play. Cam is just on another level. Without hesitation, this is the best QB play that the University of Miami has had since Ken Dorsey. That's not living in the moment. That's just the truth. Cam Ward is so smooth. This is a dude that had a horrendous pick six in the game in the second half that should have ended it. Normally, after that pick six, forget it. Like, you're done. But Cam Ward and the Canes simply kept grinding. They kept playing. And when you start to pile up special wins, when you start to have games that should have been losses, but they turn into victories, you run out of those potential losses. All of the games you should have lost, they go away. And all that's left, wins. There's no reason the Canes won't win the ACC this year. There's no reason the Canes won't make the college football playoff this year. And with Cam Ward playing at this level and the way he's able to bring belief into that locker room, this team can do very special things. They are far from done. As someone who enjoys watching UM play, this has got to be savored because Cam Ward, he's one show only. That's it. The Canes have him this year, and then he's going to be playing on Sundays. We know that the quarterback is the most important position, not just on a football field, but in all of sports. You could say the goaltender in hockey is very important, yes. But the QB in football is the most important position in the entire sports world. And if you have someone playing at the level like Cam Ward is, you're going to pile up a lot of W's. And you could be looking at a championship. But he's a rental. Essentially, he's a rental. Cam Ward's not going to be on campus all that long. The Canes knew that. And I would take that every year. The window to win is right now. Whatever Cam Ward and the Canes and Mario Cristobal can achieve between now and January, they've got to take it and they've got to do it. Because after that, Cam's going to be in the National Football League. We're loving the ride right now. If you're a Canes fan, you're loving this because it's special. 6-0, 2-0 in the ACC. They go out west. They fly to Oakland, which is absurd. Miami and Cal in a conference game. But they go out there, they're down 25, and they land at Miami International Airport early in the next morning, Sunday morning, like around 7 a.m. or so, or actually it was like 10 a.m., whenever they landed. I didn't see the plane land, but it was somewhere Sunday morning, and they go back to campus with a big W. What more can you ask for? And the way it went down, as a Canes fan, that's got to excite you, because you know this team has got it in them. You already knew they had it in them to get a bunch of victories, but to be down, they did it against Virginia Tech and they won, and then to do it all the way across the country and be down so big and still get a W, what more do you need to see? I mean, you take a look at Alabama against Vanderbilt, they're down, they lose. The University of Miami, this is their time. You don't know who the next quarterback is going to be, and it would be very, very difficult to see and think, yeah, we're going to get somebody just as good as Cam Ward when we need our next QB. I don't foresee that happening. I thought Cam Ward was going to be good. I didn't know he was going to be this good. I know a lot of people had that game on Saturday night listed as a trap game, a dangerous one for the University of Miami, because you're playing in a different atmosphere. You're going so far away from home. And it did look like a nightmare. It looked like a horror show until it wasn't. Then it got really fun really quick. What's also fun, my 15th annual football pick'em challenge going on right now on my site, SlaterScoops.com. You could win a $100 gift card every week to use at Flanagan's. Go get yourself some meal deals. Go with your friends and family. $100 at Flanagan's will go a long ways. And there's Flanagan's located in Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, and beyond. So whoever has the most wins against the spread for the week, you will get that $100 gift card to Flanagan's. Whoever's got the most wins at the end of the football season against the spread, they will fly away with a guest to Costa Rica thanks to the Costa Rica Dental Team. It is never too late to play. Head on over to my site, SlaterScoops.com. Make sure you're registered. Make sure your picks are in. If you're not registered yet, picking the game just for tonight, it's not going to do you any good. But you'll already be ready to go for the next game, which is just a few days away on Thursday, which begins week 6. So head on over to SlaterScoops.com right now. Try to beat me. I'm in 8th place overall, and we got more than 500 people playing in my 15th annual Football Pick'em Challenge. Tomorrow night, the Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise, the Florida Panthers are taking on the Boston Bruins. Opening night, the banner is going to be raised. People are going to be there, even though we've got a dreary forecast. What is the forecast again for tomorrow night in Sunrise?
It's going to rain.
Yes, it is. It may be raining rats in the building, but it's going to be raining with like water, and we're going to have wind and maybe some flooding. A serious situation. Of course, with Hurricane Milton on the horizon, looks like it's going to go more towards the Tampa area. But for those of you that have lived in South Florida for a long time, you know that many times, if not the majority of the time, the southeast part of a hurricane is pretty bad. Lots of squalls, lots of bad weather. That's what we're going to get here in South Florida. Again, stay up to date with your local officials. They will tell you everything you need to know. Here, I tell you what I know. I give you my opinion. I give you some factual information. And we have seen, I mean, this morning, this thing started blowing up. And then into early this afternoon, just about 2 o'clock, just a little while ago, it became a hurricane with 175 mile per hour winds. The only good news is that apparently, if the forecast is correct, Milton is supposed to go down to about a Category 3, which is still a major hurricane, before it hits the west coast of Florida. So if there's any positive, which still is horrendous, a major hurricane hitting somewhere, if there's anything positive out of that, at least it will weaken some. But it's going to weaken to something that's extremely strong. So there's still not a whole lot of positive. But the Panthers, they plan to play tomorrow night. You'll have to go through some bad weather to get there, and you'll have to go through some bad weather to get out of there. What I thought was really weird is that tonight the Florida Panthers were supposed to have their ring ceremony, but they canceled it. Yesterday they announced that their big ring rollout that the team was going to share with fans if you paid $20 to go, it was canceled, they said, due to weather conditions for tonight. But the game is on tomorrow. I know the forecast is for rain, but maybe the forecast for tonight was rain with a chance of Panthers couldn't sell a lot of tickets. I don't know that to be a fact, but now that it's just going to be a private, quiet little ceremony, maybe we'll see some images from that ceremony and the rings themselves, but no ceremony tonight because of weather. But the weather tomorrow night, oh yeah, go to that arena. It's not safe to go there tonight. That's why they canceled it. But tomorrow night, when the weather will be worse, go on out there and have a good time. That's what I'll do. I mean, as long as they're playing, I'm going to go. It's opening night. The banner gets raised, and it's a chance to put in a parlay and root it in person. I hope that the weather won't be so bad tomorrow night, and fans will be able to go, in all seriousness, because seeing a banner raised, a Stanley Cup champion banner, has got to be amazing. I've never seen one raised before, but that's got to be emotional. You're a fan of the team for so long. Being there for Game 7 and watching them win the Stanley Cup was unreal. And then just seeing the end of this where you raise the banner and it comes full circle, that's going to be a moment where you're going to get goosebumps if you're in that building. So I'm just hoping that the weather isn't too bad tomorrow and it will be safe for a lot of fans to go to the game, and those there will be able to witness that. And then what we witness after that, hey, game number one for the Florida Panthers, game number one for the Boston Bruins. We know what the Bruins have gone through the last 2 years, getting knocked out by Florida, and I'm sure they're going to try to ruin banner night. All right, that's all the time I got for this Monday. Stay safe out there. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.